May the Force be with you.
Can you name four characters from any of the Star Wars movies? Four of them, go.
Luke Skywalker, Chewie, Layla, or what the hell's her name? Okay, I give up.
He couldn't even come up with Darth freaking Vader.
Death Vader lives.
I made it clear last night that if we opened with that, I was going to walk off.
It might floor you. I mean, don't waste your time reading crap like that. It might floor you. I mean, don't waste your time reading crap like that.
That was
pretty good.
You know,
May the 4th be with you, Michael Florio.
I was having a really good day. I was in a really good mood until that. I had forgotten about that. And now the rest of the day is ruined. All that can happen now is we can get to May the 5th, and it's Cinco de Mayo, and I can drink a lot of tequila to forget.
Off with his head, Sims! Chop his head off!
tell your dad I said hi. Shouldn't it be... Wait a minute. Let's go back to the other one. Tell your dad I said hi takes on great significance when it's Darth Vader versus his dad.
Oh.
Maybe. I don't know if we can do the timeline here. Wouldn't it be something if Jim Harbaugh was actually your father? I don't think the math works, but that would be a hell of a plot twist. If you found out that Jim Harbaugh was actually your father, you would react the same way that Luke Skywalker did.
Yes,
I
would. I definitely would. I'd try to kill him with my saber.
That kind of works, especially with Chris Sims as Grogu. Look closely.
Oh.
He's Grogu, the baby, the child. That's actually a pretty good show. I'm not a big Star Wars person, but The Mandalorian's a good show. And I remember that from a year or two ago.
Damn.
The Star Wars.
They gave me, they put me in Layla there. Poster. That's the EJ put me in Layla. Yeah, that's great.
Well,
thanks,
you know what? Until you get her name right, you're going to be her.
Layla.
All right. Here we go. The Packers selected Devontae Wyatt from Georgia, despite some off-field issues. Bart Scott, formerly of the New York Jets, the Baltimore Ravens, he was one of the guys elbow-to-elbow with Phil Sims on CBS's NFL Today. Yeah. Here he is on ESPN Radio talking about the red flags that Devontae Wyatt brings to the Green Bay Packers.
They need to get tough up the middle, and I know Wyatt may have some type of
off-the-field issues,
but you have to be able to get some tough guys, and everybody can't be choir boys. You know. When I was with the Ravens, we had to make sure that we had at least two people on the team with a couple felonies just to make sure our street cred was right when we had to go into these back alleys and have some of these dog fights. Sometimes you got to have some people that's not no choir boys. That's why you have a strong locker room to hold them in check.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to be careful with the felonies.
The funniest sign I've ever seen in my life was 52 plus 31 equals 10 to 20. It was Ray Lewis plus Jamal Lewis equals 10 to 20 in prison. So listen, you got to have some guys with the Terrell Suggs beat a dude with a stop sign coming out of Arizona State. You know what I mean? You got to have a couple guys like that. We can clean them up. We can get them counseling, but you got to have a couple goons, and you definitely got to have some goo goblins, and you got to get a couple.
Then you know what? Somebody threw a lifeline there. And he threw it back.
What would they try
to say? You can hear
say?
It about.
Yeah, what was it?
You can hear about. I don't know, but you got to be careful there. Something along those lines. I think they were trying desperately to get Bart Scott to realize how quickly he was descending into the quicksand with that take. I don't even know where to take it from there. It's newsworthy because it's stunning and it's shocking. I don't think that.
Well, yes, I'll take it.
I just don't think that the NFL wants its product presented that way. I have a feeling somebody from 345 Park Avenue is making a phone call today, if they didn't already yesterday, to Bristol to explain their concern about the way Bart Scott characterized the players in the league.
I think he's, again, Bart's a colorful guy. I know Bart a little bit. I mean, he's very, in touch with football and been on some great teams and knows the game. I think he was having a little fun with the subject, trying to make a point a little here, a point that I don't think is, again, the league might not want it said, but I don't think it's like that crazy in the NFL world. Hear me out. Not that teams want guys that actually got felonies. It's not that. He's trying to make more of the point of, They don't want a bunch of Boy Scouts. There's got to be a few guys in the locker room with some edge to them. There's got to be. There is. And I think that is standard protocol, you know, with a lot of football teams. You know, I've even heard stories of Belichick talking about that. That's why, you know, again, Randy Moss, Aqib Talib, love those type of guys because they brought an energy and a street cred to the locker room. They don't have felonies. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying there was something about them, an edge that you can bring to the locker room. I was on teams with plenty of personalities like that, you know, and I think that's the point he's trying to make. You know, you got a team that's just got, you know, too many good guys and yes, sir, no, sir, and everything that way. Yeah, at some point, things get ugly on a football field, and you need one guy that's out there going, we got to be crazy and get crazy and play better and set the example and show that. And usually it is that kind of guy that's, you know, again, not felonies, but got a little bit of an edge about him that brings it to your football team. And coaches and organizations do like that. And I think that's what Bart was trying to do. Maybe he just went too far.
In 2020, Devontae Wyatt, who was the 28th overall pick by the Green Bay Packers, he was charged with misdemeanor criminal trespass after having an argument with a woman he had lived with on and off. He allegedly kicked her door multiple times from the hallway, damaging the door and forcing it open. That's according to the University of Georgia police. Charges were dismissed several months later. So that's what he allegedly did that created the concern that gave Bart Scott the starting point. And I think the more artful way to put it, and I don't know that because Devontae Wyatt, see, I don't know that this take follows from why Devontae Wyatt got in trouble. Just because he got mad and kicked a door doesn't mean that he's one of the guys that's going to set the mentality you're talking about. I think more like Brian Dawkins.
Sure.
Like you want a guy that is going to prepare the team to go out and engage in an inherently physical endeavor where one guy is banging against another guy over and over again all game long. And Brian Dawkins could get someone fired up without any off-field clouds of any kind. Brian Dawkins had a way to pull the ripcord on the lawnmower for the entire team.
Yeah.
And so if that's his point, it has nothing to do with what you do away from work. It's what you do in the locker room to get your team ready. I think what he wants is even more than that. He wants that attitude of, when we get off the bus,
yeah,
everybody
sure.
pees a little bit.
Right.
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 Everybody sees these guys and says, uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble today because they got some bad dudes literally on their team.
No doubt. Well, we talk about this a lot during the season, right? You know, the Ravens are one of those teams every year. We go, well, if we went into just bar, you know, back alley, bar room brawl, the Ravens are going to be one of those teams that every year we're going to go, they're the Final Four here. Yeah, because they believe that a little bit. They want big dudes that are a little bit mean and nasty that way. It doesn't mean felonies. You're right. Dawkins is a special, special entity that way. Very rare in that he could, you know, be one guy all week and then just be this other guy. That player doesn't usually exist. Usually the guy we're talking about, yes, he's emotional, intense, and kind of the crazy guy on Sunday. Because he's also crazy the other 6 days of the week a little bit. And, yes, he might have got in trouble because somebody messed with his friend and then he beat the crap out of the guy, right? And now he's got that. But it's like in the NFL world, people aren't going, well, he's a felon and what a bad guy. They're going, yeah, the guy stuck up for his friend and beat the crap out of some jerk. It's the kind of guy we want in our locker room. So I think that's what he was trying to portray a little bit. And, again, I'm not trying to say felony or bad things that way. I'm just trying to – we're trying to paint the picture of – you know, yes, it's not choir boys in the NFL locker room all the time.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
No matter how much the game has changed from a health and safety standpoint in the last 13 years, it is still a game that is premised on physicality.
Exactly.
And intimidation.
Right.
And that's, I think, I'm not trying to help Bart Scott
out
of the quicksand because I don't want to end up in it with him. But I think he's talking about the intimidation factor. That guys like that help you bring a level of intimidation that you otherwise wouldn't have. And that is part of the basic human reality of football. No matter how much it's changed, no matter how much safer it's gotten, until they make it two-hand touch, that's going to be part of the allure of building a team. I think that's what he meant.
Exactly. That's the way I say it, too. He just was trying to be
fun. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yes, exactly right. I'm with you there. Yep.
Sometimes you got to be careful what you try to have fun with.
I know.
That's one thing that we've learned over the years. All right, let's take a break. The NFL issued an announcement on Monday as it relates to the Cleveland Browns tanking allegation, but SI.com had a long article about it yesterday, and I actually have added to the reporting with something I obtained last night. We got some final thoughts on tanking versus rebuilding. Where is the line? More importantly, where does the NFL think the line is? We'll discuss that next on PFT Live.
Shakira, okay? Shakira, hips. Shakira, my hips don't lie. Move the hips. Move the hips. Good hips. Ballerina, Shakira, J-Lo, Pip, I don't know. You can even dance to it, look at that. Your hips don't lie, your hips. Fiesta, salsa. A quinceañera? Anybody been a quinceañera?
Najee Harris, always entertaining. First-round draft pick in 2021 of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. He is a tour de force. Once he gets going, he is a lot of fun. He's going to be a great personnel in the NFL for years to come, Chris.
Yeah, he definitely is. He is. He's a good football player. He's got a great personality. He's got a great story. I mean, overcome obstacles, but and always just seems to be happy and loving life. I mean, even there he is, you know, teaching kids, having fun, giving back to the community. Yeah, really awesome guy.
Okay, so Cleveland Browns also in the same division as the Steelers. Browns up until recently have had a hard time competing with the Steelers, and that's relevant because the Browns tanking allegations that were kind of clumsily made by Hugh Jackson after the Brian Flores lawsuit was filed and the allegations came to light that Flores believes Stephen Ross offered him $100,000 per loss in 2019. Hugh Jackson chimed in. It became something the NFL investigated. And one thing that we're learning is that this was a thing back in 2019 and 2020. Jackson actually filed an arbitration claim with the NFL in the secret rigged kangaroo court. And sorry, I'm going to keep calling it that because that's what it is. But Jackson filed a claim because his theory was, I went along with this four-year plan, and that's an important term to remember, four-year plan that the Browns had to rebuild, and basically they made me the scapegoat, they made me look like an idiot, they fired me before it came to fruition, et cetera, et cetera. They misled me. And here's the bottom line. This four-year plan had specific incentives that were driven by factors, such as having more draft picks, having the youngest roster or among the youngest rosters in the league, carrying over cap space, not spending cash early on. And in the first 2 years, there was no factor in this list of incentives based on winning games. 2018, 2019, one of the factors was winning at least 10 games. Nothing about winning the first 2 years. And when you look at all of it and you look at the specific factors, even though it never incentivized losing, Chris, there are factors that if you achieve them, it's not conducive to winning in the years where those factors were relevant. The NFL's position on all of it was this is part of a long-term rebuilding effort. It's not tanking. And I think the NFL, at least the way they handled this, they were looking for a smoking gun of a specific game, a specific situation, a specific time where someone was said, hey, if you go lose, I'll make it worth your while. Instead, what they had here was a broader strategy that incentivized certain things, didn't incentivize other things. And when you look at all of it, you say they didn't care about winning in 2016 and 2017. They prioritized factors that would help them win later. So it's a broader tanking strategy that they call rebuilding. But as I said last night on PFT, it's tomato, tomato, tanking, rebuilding. But the NFL gave them a pass, even though there was a problematic aspect, in my opinion, to the way that the Browns had structured their four-year rebuilding plan.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. To me, it's a lot different than Stephen Ross asking Brian Flores to lose coach and lose games. Why the game is going on, to lose the game. That is tanking.
I agree.
This is, to me, I don't consider this tanking. I don't. First off, all the knowledge is there for bettors, first off, to know this. Oh, wait, they didn't spend up to the salary cap. They left 15%. Oh, wait, this is their roster. It looks kind of crappy. Oh, wait, it's a bunch of young guys. So you have the information there to where it's not tanking. To me, that way. There's a little difference here. I tend to agree with the NFL's outcome a little bit here. There's no rule that says they have to incentivize winning the first 2 years. Yeah, they weren't putting their best foot forward and trying to win, no doubt about it. But it doesn't mean they were trying to lose either. It doesn't. It just means, like you said, they were kind of setting themselves up for the future. So that's where it's a little bit of a different discussion. And, there's a lot of teams that are rebuilding and doing it that way. Maybe this is more egregious. And, of course, it's the Browns to where it just seems like it went off the rails here and they were just always losing. It's just a bad look. But, again, I think this cut falls under a little bit to me of they have the right to run their business the way they want to run it to set it up for the future at least a little bit.
But where it becomes problematic is if you incentivize not spending money now, if you incentivize carrying cap space over to future years, if you incentivize stockpiling draft picks, if you incentivize having among the youngest rosters in the league, those are the kinds of things where if those incentives are achieved, the end result is a team that's not going to be as competitive as it could be. And the argument is we were strategically trying to make the team more competitive
later. 2 years,
later.
3 years, right.
But we need to take a break, but this is the one thing where it comes down to the eye of the beholder, and this is why the commissioner is the one who shouldn't be making these decisions. And frankly, what happened was in Hugh Jackson's arbitration, it never even got to the merits of his claims because he had signed a release to get his buyout.
Right.
The release that Brian Flores refused to sign and didn't get his buyout in Miami. Jackson signed his release and then filed the arbitration claim later. But the commissioner points out that there was no incentive to get the highest possible draft pick. There was an incentive to get 11 or 10 draft picks. Well, one of the ways you get 11 and 10 draft picks is you start with a high position in each round, which the worst teams get, and you trade down. That's one of the ways you get more draft picks. So I feel like this could have gone either way if the league wanted it to. And if the league wanted to make an argument, because we saw what the league did with the Deflategate evidence, and it reached a conclusion that I don't think the evidence as harvested supported, but it still wanted to reach that conclusion.
And I disagree.
I think
with
if
you.
The NFL I know. You can disagree with facts and science all you want. But I wonder if the commissioner wanted to get the Browns, I think there would have been enough there to say that the mere existence of this four-year plan, the factors that were articulated the first 2 years, show that the team, even if it didn't incentivize losing, it definitely didn't incentivize factors that led to winning. So that's the end result. We wrote a letter, or we wrote an item based upon the letter that was sent by the commissioner to the Browns explaining his conclusion. His conclusion was it's rebuilding, not tanking. And we'll see what that means to Stephen Ross and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
In the other investigation that the same person, Mary Jo White, is conducting. All right, let's
That's
take
where
a
it's
break.
A slippery slope.
Live.
That's a slippery slope.
Well,
though, because it's rebuilding.
If they can prove it.
You know, rebuilding, you're going to be able to say that about every rebuilding team to a degree, a little bit. You know, we're going to go, well, they held back assets in here and did this for this year. And we're going to go, what, is that tanking? And at some point, it's rebuilding. Okay, go ahead. Forget it.
Go ahead.
All the Deflategate stuff is bullcrap. Released by who?
Right,
come on.
Right,
there you go.
That's all right. That's
yeah,
all right.
I just told
read
you the temperature of the thing a few weeks ago. You didn't even know.
Read about it in Playmakers.
Yeah, it ain't right. Sorry. I'll get the chapter.
It's not right. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this. There are many Ryan Fitzpatricks in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
No, there's just one. He just played for all those teams.
That's amazing.
That is just awesome. A lot of jerseys in the Ryan Fitzpatrick household. And who knows? Maybe there'll be another one. We don't hear much about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's available. Could there be an 11th Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey? Could he get up to more than a third of the league's teams? We can only hope. One team that Ryan Fitzpatrick, did he play for the Falcons at some point? That may be one of the teams
so.
He did not play for. Maybe they would like to add him to the quarterback room. They added Desmond Ridder over the weekend. I asked their general manager, Terry Fontenot, yesterday what made them draft Desmond Ridder ahead of the other available quarterbacks. Here's what Fontenot told me.
Yeah, so at that point, he truly was. He was the best guy off the board, and we were excited to take him off because – we spent time with Desmond as we did the other quarterbacks throughout the process. And I remember going into Cincinnati and after he worked out, getting to sit in a room with him, and we talked to him a lot, and he went through how they brought that program to a different level. And he talked about, he was very selfless and humble in the way he talked about his teammates and the coaching staff and what they did. I think it's special what they're able to do at Cincinnati, raising that program to another level. And you knew we had a player that he does have a chip on his shoulder. He always has felt like he has something to prove. And he's one of those guys that whether he goes in the first round or the seventh round, he's going to be that type of worker that brings it every day. So we're excited to take Desmond at that time, excited about the time we spent with him, and we're excited to get him here so he can go to work.
If you pay attention to the headlines of Pro Football Talk, and I know you do, you may have seen that Matt Ryan recently said that but for the pursuit of Deshaun Watson, he'd still be with the Falcons. Do you agree with his assessment of the way things could have fallen out differently?
I don't know. I haven't seen. I usually do. I do pay attention to Pro Football Talk, and I click refresh on that a lot, obviously. But I haven't seen that yet. And I don't know the context that it was in. But look, Matt Ryan is a special man, and the type of professional that he is. We appreciated our opportunity to spend an entire year with him and his family. And he's awesome. We appreciate the Colts throughout that whole process. Everything was handled with a high level of professionalism, and we're happy for him and where he is now. And we're moving forward, and we're excited about our quarterback room.
One more.
As soon as I get off this call, I'm going to go to PFT and catch up on the news that I haven't caught up on.
Good. That's good. That's very good. And that means I'm going to let you go quicker so you can get to it. We need the traffic.
I asked him one more question about who pursued whom with Deshaun Watson. Because remember, you had said that Watson actually reached out to the Falcons with the request that they pursue him. I knew he probably wouldn't give me an answer, right. But I figured I would try anyway.
Good try. So Way to go.
He said he was with another team, and we don't want to rehash all those things.
Right.
He didn't deny it.
Yep.
Although I didn't couch it that way. I said who reached out to whom, not.
Yeah.
Isn't it true that he reached out to you and asked you to get in the pursuit? Because it really is something to think that this 14-year relationship with Matt Ryan comes crashing down all because of the pursuit of Deshaun Watson, and Ryan seems to think that that's the case.
Yeah, no, it is. It's crazy. I mean, the you know, arguably the best player in the history of the franchise, you know, got pushed out the door by whatever, either the flirting or Deshaun Watson calling them calling him. Yeah. I was led to believe that he called them to get that conversation going. But I would think Matt Ryan's still there. No doubt about it. I would. And I don't know. You know, it's the ripple effect. Is Desmond Ridder there? If Matt Ryan's still there, do they draft the quarterback? I don't know. But that's where they are right now. And, you know, they had to make some moves, and they got to start thinking about the future. And that's why they got Ridder. Ridder, though, as you hear there, you know, the guy is awesome, but not one thing said about what he does on the football field. And that, to me, stands out with a lot of people who talk about Ridder. And that's what I got to see. I got to see some things on the field that get a little bit better and improve.
You'll see the full Terry Fontenot interview at PFT or at our YouTube page, youtube.com/NBC Sports. Others that you'll find there currently include the Stephen Jones interview from earlier. Brett Veach, the Chiefs GM, had a long conversation with him. Brandon Bean from earlier this week. About four coming today. Kevin Colbert of the Steelers, outgoing GM there. George Payton of the Broncos. Joe Shane of the Giants. And Chris Ballard of the Colts. So
wow,
I have
big
to actually
time.
Work this afternoon.
Wow.
I have to work this afternoon. When PFTPM went on hiatus, I thought my days would open up. I foolishly have scheduled 8 of these and counting. So 4 more today, but you'll see them at PFT. We got to take a break. When we return, we're going to draft the rookies who will have the biggest immediate impact in the NFL. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
Hello.
Hey, Derek, excited man.
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you.
Got a plan for you. How about going to the number one receiver every time?
Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Just welcome to our team. We're pretty pumped.
We're going
to
do a lot of good things, all right?
Yes, sir.
Sounds like Lovie Smith wrote a little check there that they may not be able to honor. He's going to travel with the number one receiver. Is that how you took what he said?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. And that was one of the reasons I did not think Derek Stingley would go there at number three. I mean, Lovie Smith and his history in the NFL has not really valued the man-to-man shutdown island corner. He's kind of famous for Tampa 2, playing cover 2. I should have looked up the numbers here before this segment started to give you maybe a basis there. But I would bet that the Texans played more as much cover two as anybody in football last year. And that's where I found the pick interesting.
All right, today's draft. The rookies who will make the most immediate impact in the NFL. Any round, any pick, any position, any player. Chris, you're up first.
Well, I'm going to go with Aiden Hutchinson. I just feel like that's the one that jumps out to me more than anything. It's all of it. It's not only the play on the football field and, you know, the talent and intensity he can bring there that's like very T.J. Watt-ish. But then, of course, he is very talented. He's going to be a force. And then I think when you encompass that as far as what he means to the state of Michigan and the city of Detroit and how he's, you know, one of the guys from that area that's just special to that group of people, I look at him as being one of the ones that has a great immediate impact in a lot of different ways for that football team.
I'm going with Kenny Pickett. Walks through the door as the presumptive starter in Pittsburgh. I don't think that Mitch Trubisky is going to win that job. I think they're going to ride with Pickett. They used that first-round pick on him for a reason. They accompany him with Najee Harris. They've got great receivers. They drafted a couple more. I think Pickett, he's going to be touching the ball every single play. He's got a chance to have an immediate impact in Pittsburgh, Chris.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that. You're right. I mean, definitely. And it seems like he's going to have a real competition with Mitch Trubisky, and we'll see where it goes. You know, they got some similar things about their game, so that'll be interesting. I think I'm going to go the second round. I'm going to Christian Watson, Green Bay Packers second round pick, the receiver from North Dakota State. I just look at him, and again, I think a lot of these receivers are going to have an impact. But in Green Bay, I almost look at it like he's got to have an impact, and he will, because we've talked about it, lack of talent, lack of players at the position altogether, and he is going to be by far the most physically gifted receiver on their roster. So to me, there's one where I just feel like they're going to know, figure out how to use him and what ways to use him and all that. And I think he'll be a big target for Rodgers this year.
I'm going to go back to a common theme. Treylon Burks, the Arkansas receiver who goes to Tennessee. He walks through the door as the number one guy. Right. Robert Woods coming off an ACL tear. Treylon Burks is the guy. They're going to find ways to get him the football, and he's going to have an impact. Now, I don't know how great it's going to be, but he's going to be a huge part of that offense from day one.
Yeah, I agreed there. I wrote him down as well. I mean, Burks, I mean, it's almost they're going to make sure that he's an immediate impact and that he touches the ball. And they're going to design plays for him. I mean, they got it. They got to jumpstart him, getting confidence. And I think, yeah, it's exactly what Green Bay might do with Christian Watson. All right, third pick. Damn, this is a hard one here. This is a hard one. All right, I think I'm going to go with Kenneth Walker for the Seattle Seahawks. It just seems to fit the way they want to play. Sledgehammer. And, you know, I run you over, break your ankles, run by you, whatever you want to do. I look at him as being like the new attitude setter up there in Seattle, and I think that's the style of football they love up there.
I'm going to go with the guy who was the next to last pick in round two, James Cook,
brother
of Dalvin Cook, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Because and you know, we get so caught up in round one. Well, where do all the running backs land now? They land in round two. That's where Jonathan Taylor was picked. That's where Derrick Henry was picked. Bottom around, that's where Dalvin Cook was selected back in 2017. I just think James Cook, when you consider how desperately they need a change of pace, somebody to take, even if it's he's not going to be between the tackles, but he's somebody who can get the ball in space.
Exactly. No
behind
doubt.
The line of scrimmage.
Right.
And make things happen. Going to be a great compliment to what they already have in Buffalo and exactly what they need. They need a running back who can make an impact, and I think it's going to be James Cook.
I'm with you there. And I think you said it right, too. You look at all the running backs in the second round between Cook, Kenneth Walker, and even Breece Hall for the Jets. Like, I think they're immediate impact running backs for their team. And Cook, I wrote him down for the reasons you said. You're exactly right. Spread it out. Josh Allen running around the field. Oh, Diggs isn't open. Gabriel Davis ain't open. Oh, here you go, Cook. Run. Oh, you got three rockets up your butt? See you later. Whoa, he's flying around the field. He's perfect for them. I agree with you. Immediate impact all the way.
Let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, there are four international games this year, three in London, one in Germany. We'll let you know who's playing whom and where when we wrap up this Wednesday edition of PFT Live right after this. Hello, London.
Hello,
there
London.
There are the international games.
You
the first
like
wave to be played in London. Two at Tottenham Hotspur, which they have refurbished to make it both a soccer and football arena. The Vikings at the Saints on October the 2nd, an early morning start, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. I love those games.
Ruin.
Break them out.
Ruin
give us
Florio's
four
day
on
early
Sunday.
On a Sunday.
I like
ruin it.
Oh, I don't know. It's better for the Vikings to play the Saints in London than it is to play them in the Superdome. I saw how that went on Christmas Day in 2020. The hell with that. Then you've got the Giants at the Packers a week later. First international game, first London game for the Green Bay Packers. They were the last team to play in London. The Giants avoid having to go to Lambeau Field, so good for them. And then Wembley on October 30. All three of these are early morning games. The Broncos and the Jaguars at Wembley. The Jaguars have become the de facto team that plays a home game in London every year. And then Germany for the first time ever, November 13,
amazing.
Another early. There are four Sundays where the pregame shows become superfluous. Sorry about that, ESPN and NFL Network. Nobody cares about your pregame shows those mornings because we got football. Seattle and the Buccaneers, they entered the league together. Now they're going to get together for the first time ever in Germany, a regular season game. I like that. I like that. The NFL branching out internationally.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, first off, all three games, I mean, you know, you get to see some traditional NFC powerhouses there. The Jags get to play their, you know, de facto home game. The Germany one's really cool to me, though. First time, real regular season game. Very smart to bring Brady over there. Make sure it gets kicked off, you know, the right way with the right fanfare and all that. But, damn, that's some trip for Seattle. They're going across the world to play a game is not going to be easy.
I wonder if it's faster
to go the other way
to fly over Asia.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Which way do you go?
Halfway around the globe.
Ooh.
Well, maybe just go over the top. Maybe that's what they do. Just go right over the North Pole. Okay. I don't know. It's coming. It's coming. Schedule release next week too. PFT Live tomorrow. Chris Sims unbuttoned taping later today. All sorts of crap going on. Thanks for some of your time. See you tomorrow morning.